This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. We're about to take you back to a panel session entitled Good for Business, AI, Robotics and All Things Tech, which took place at the Pradhana Leadership Foundation's CEO Forum 2019 earlier this April. Do business owners have a solid understanding of the ways automation, AI, robotics and other advances will impact their industries, business model and HR needs in the near future? Listen to some of the brightest minds in the country as they discuss how these technologies will disrupt some industries and unlock new ideas and potential for others. This is the second half of the panel session, which features Deputy Group CEO of AirAsia, Irene Omar, CEO of Time.com, Afzal Abdul Rahim, President of the Malaysia Robotics and Automation Society, Professor Dr. Iskandar Baharin, and Group CEO of Sapura Secure Technologies, Muhammad Zarif Hashim. This session is being moderated by Dr. Farooq Abdullah, Chief Data Scientist at Natural Intelligence Solutions.
You know, we strongly believe that, and this is we as in generic, as the human race, that business leaders drive the economy. And I like to challenge that a bit, because I think in today's world, the consumers drive the economy. There are lots of instances of this. For example, malls in the UK are shutting down at probably three a week, or shopping centres, as they call it there. There was a shopping centre quite close to my house in Scotland, and there was no minimum valuation, there was no reserve. It was sold for £1, right? And it had 54 shops, outlets, and it was gone for £1. Nobody wanted it. It was just a massive building, and that's the retail industry going down the pan. So it's primarily driven by consumers. I like to bring Irene into this conversation. You know, from a business leader perspective, right? The business model has dramatically changed, in which we have to listen to our consumers, right? You know, I have, you know, we have you know, 30 data scientists or data engineers, and they're mainly millennials, and trying to get them in the office by 9 sharp is a challenge. Getting them to look pleasant is a bit of a challenge. Yeah, by 11 if you're lucky, and you know, yeah. And you know, they like to scrunch up their t-shirt before they put it on. So as a business leader, I've had to learn the new way of doing things and new business models. I guess I like Irene to come into this conversation. How do business leaders need to behave now, and what are the, you know, behavioral and mental blocks that we have to overcome in this new, you know, call it IR 4.0 or whatever, digital operating system?
I think business leaders need to be open about new ways of doing things. Whatever that works now, whatever that works before, that makes you successful, doesn't mean that it's going to continue to be there forever. And we always need to be mindful that we constantly need to be relevant. And you know, whatever that you see, you look at technology companies, BlackBerry was very popular, but now it's almost non-existent and so forth. So you always have to work hard to find new ways of doing things and new areas to look at it. Yes, consumer drive what's required, but sometimes the business leaders also need to lead the way, and sometimes it's something that we could actually basically show. Sometimes it's about making consumer know that, you know, have them want what they don't know what they want, because we understand their behavior better, and they don't, subconsciously they don't know what they actually really need. And this is where I think business leaders can actually move ahead and see, hey, that's a gap there, let's do something about it, and so forth. So for us, we know that it's important to digitalize the company. It's important. It's not like a fad or a trend that we're trying to do. It's more of how do we make ourselves more relevant, and what else can we do apart from just flying? And we have a lot of this asset here, and let's work them out. And hence the reason why we embark on that digitalization. And a lot of it also, we need to realize that it's not just about adopting technology, it's not just about using artificial intelligence and so forth. It's also about, like, how do we facilitate this? Look at the org structure. Does it facilitate what we want to do? And a lot of the work that we have done last year is not just about adopting face, using data, doing machine learning stuff and so forth. It's also about restructuring the whole company. We were restructuring the commercial team, we were restructuring the tech team and so forth. And that's where we see that this is how we have to move forward. And it's usually a continuous restructuring. It's not like something you do every 5 years. And sometimes this happens every week. We change things because we say, okay, we try this and it's not working, so we need to work this way. So people have to be agile and nimble, and which means the whole staff also has to be agile and nimble as well. And sometimes it frustrates them, but that's how business dynamics are moving now. It's moving faster than it was before, and we need to adapt to it. And there are a bunch of people, or a lot of them, probably will have difficulty in doing so. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And there are a group of people who will have difficulties in adapting. And I'll just go to Afzal on this. I'd like his opinion on managing the board, right?
Oh, God.
Right.
In this new digital world. So people that we manage. Yes. So we think of
I serve at the pleasure of, I don't manage, just to be clear, in, yeah. case, I lose, in case I lose my job via Bursa announcement at the end of the day. I just want to do a plug-in before we get to board. So we've talked about government. We've talked about academia that I think is absolutely critical. We've talked about business leaders, and you know, we're kind of shady people that are profit-oriented, sometimes put our own needs first. But the group of people that I see in a small subset that I think are actually going to change things in this environment are the early-stage entrepreneurs. And I think we don't talk about them enough. And I'm going to embarrass someone in the audience who is probably cringing now at the moment. In the audience today, we have a 28-year-old young man who established a company when he, or took over a company when he was 20, Aaron? Were you 20? And it is now Malaysia's, Aaron Patel yesterday just got listed as one of Malaysia's 30 under 30 by Forbes magazine, as being a trailblazing entrepreneur. And Aaron's company focuses on helping businesses with energy efficiency by looking at efficiency of HVAC systems and cooling systems, et cetera, et cetera. And he's a trailblazer in this space. He's a trailblazer in this space because he did this alone. He had to forego his tertiary education to go and, you know, do this business. And he's now an expert in the field. And what he needs is he needs the environment around him to go and scale. So it's people like Aaron, I hope, and I hope I don't jinx it for you, bro. It's people like Aaron that are going to start a new subset of a new business. So helping businesses with energy efficiency, right? And within that, all these supporting ecosystems are actually going to come in. So I think it's more the entrepreneurs, and I'm just singling out Aaron because he happens to be in the audience and it's nice to embarrass him. But it's people like him, and there are others. You're not that special, right? But there are others who will basically do the same, right? Now, coming back to your question, insofar as how we manage board. So we have this weird situation where we've got, okay, so first of all, you millennials are all a pain, la, but there are more of you than there are of us, so we need to pander to you. La. So they are going to win anyway, Prof. So we've got this weird situation where you've got baby boomer boards, oh joy, right? Presiding over Gen X management teams who are trying to appear cool to millennial recruits. And it's kind of weird. So, you know, board meetings start, I hope none of my board members are here, but board meetings start with, you know, my daughter saw something, or my son saw something. And I think we have to give actually the baby boomers, and that's a polite way of referring to people who are, baby boomers are now in their 70s, right? So, and I think that baby boomers are actually far more open to new ideas than we actually give them a chance to. I think the problem are us Gen Xers. Yeah. People like us, bro. Irene, you're a millennial. We'll call you that. Yeah, but the point is, I think the problem is people like us. I think we're quite set in our ways. We are more irritated by the millennials than the baby boomers are. They often tell us to go and back off. But I think having a board which allows a company or an organization to take risks and to experiment is really important. I'm fortunate, not just saying this because I want to keep my job. I'm fortunate because I genuinely have a board of that nature. So they allow us to take a bit of risk, they allow us to go and experiment and do stupid things. But again, like a good regulator, they set the ethical, moral, you know, economic boundaries for us to go and participate, right? And I think we need to do a better job of putting millennials directly in front of board members so that there's nothing that's lost in translation. I'm supposed to be a network engineer or an internet engineer, I'm actually a pretend one, but I've been out of practice for 15 years such that now I actually don't know what's going on. And I found that I was an impediment in my company by trying to be a translator. So now when the board paper comes, you bring the young chaps in, you kick back, and you enjoy the show. So I think that there should be more interaction between the baby boomers and the millennials outside the home, i.e. not with their own children, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but that's interesting. That's the grandparent, parent, and grandchild relationship that we're chatting about. Yeah, so the grandparent will spoil the grandchild, and the parent's always wrong. Until such time that they hand the children back to the parent, and then they say, why is your child behaving that way? Yeah. Yes, or you have millennials on the board. I mean, that would be another challenge. Any millennials here that's on the board? go on, tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it's because really it's good to have a different perspective, right? Because the millennials see things in a different way. And as long as they understand there's certain governance that needs to be put in place, we welcome millennials to be in our board. I mean, we have them not only just in AirAsia, but also in various companies, in our venture, companies like Redbeat Ventures and so forth. Yeah.
Time for a break, but when we come back, is Malaysia ready for the fourth industrial revolution? All this and more on Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre. I'm Audrey Raj. We're about to play you the tail end of a panel session entitled Good for Business, AI, Robotics and All Things Tech, featuring Irene Omar from AirAsia, Afzal Rahim from Time.com, Professor Dr. Iskandar Baharin from the Malaysia Robotics and Automation Society, and Muhammad Zarif Hashim from Sapura Secure Technologies. This is a recording from the Perdana Leadership Foundation's CEO Forum 2019, and this session is being moderated by Dr. Farooq Abdullah, Chief Data Scientist at Natural Intelligence Solutions.
We have seen how years ago China was at the backwaters of technology, and we have seen where it is today, and we think that or we know that it is no small part. The government played a big part in fostering that environment to be where they are now. And we do know as well that SMEs or SMEs plus are the backbone of the industry in the country, of the economy of the country. Question for the panelists: do you think in Malaysia the environment is conducive enough for businesses like SMEs and SMEs plus plus to drive technology, robotics, AI? And adapt, and is it conducive enough? Is there a lot of momentum for the industries to adapt and adopt and use this as the way forward?
Okay, thank you for the question. So, is it conducive?
I think the short answer is no. And just to also understand the question from the gentleman seated in the eighth row properly, the question was, do we have a conducive enough environment for SMEs in order for us to take advantage of robotics, AI, and to go and propagate it? I think the answer is no. And I'm going to wait for Professor to stop sipping his water because we don't have enough tie-ups. We don't have enough tie-ups and we don't have enough entry from academia. So, you know, just to talk about, everyone's talking about Huawei today, not to sound like an old man, but in 2003, at the ITU show in Geneva, Huawei put up a double pavilion thing. And I think Farid Sani from TM is in the audience, he was there as well. We were all laughing at, you know, what is China trying to do? What is Huawei trying to do? What do they think that they can achieve? A year later, they got their first big break. I think it was either Digi at that point in time that decided to give Huawei a backbone contract for their then 3G deployment, right? And they had so many features in their switches, and they were up against Nokia Siemens. Even before they were Nokia Siemens, Ericsson, et cetera, et cetera. And that level of innovation that you talk about at Huawei was fueled because they had, if I'm not mistaken, I may get this wrong, more than 1,000 PhDs in the headquarters in Guangzhou. 1,000, if I get this right. And they had, is that right, Zarif? They have more than 1,000 PhDs working. So where did these PhDs come from? Okay, it helps if you have a 1.3 billion population. So go home, get funky, and have more kids, because that will help us all, right? So that's the first thing. But secondly, the focus on math and science has been there for the past 2.5-3 decades, in fact, right? And so kids come through university and they then are encouraged to move into, to go and do their PhDs. They are really innovating. So what Huawei did was, well, we don't have the solution today. So they would ask you, would you have this, I'm just making this up, right? So as they install their 3G switches, can I do conference call from my phone? It's a switch feature rather than a phone feature because phones have it built in. And Huawei would say, yes, we comply to this. Actually, when they got the contract, they didn't comply to it, but they would have 50 people, literally, there were 50 people on the ground in Hi-Tech Park, in Subang Hi-Tech Park in Shah Alam, doing this implementation and talking to their members, which are more than 1,000 PhDs, to get that solution done and implemented within 2 weeks. So I think what's missing is that the funding environment is its own challenge, but what's missing is we do not have the intellectual capability. And we don't have the intellectual capability because, as Dato' Zarif said, we have an issue with our education system that filters all the way through tertiary and it's so difficult to find people there. Can we ever catch up? I hope one day, inshallah, we can, but the pessimistic part of me says, no, know your position in the food chain and go and focus on something else.
Well, my straight answer as well is actually no, but not yet, okay? Hafzal has given the China experience, but let me also talk to you about, let's look closer to home, Singapore, okay? So they're not a billion population, right? But they are able to do that because they are able to organize themselves under, well, they don't call it, but it's almost like a Singapore Inc. concept that they have. They organize themselves, whatever resources that they have, limited resources that they have, they organize themselves and they start to divide, you know, who does what. And at the end of the day, as a total system, as a whole ecosystem, they are able to do that. So Malaysia is not much larger than compared to Singapore. And I think we should be able to learn from there. I think we need to go back to the Malaysian Inc. concept, right? Individually, every company may not have the ability to do that. But if you put our thoughts together and we start to collaborate, and the way Dr. Sri Ivan mentioned this morning, I think we could harness the potential that we have. The entire Malaysia can come. And, you know, we do, I mean, we may not have 1,000 PhDs in AI. Even, you know, Afzal, even in Japan, they only have 2,500 PhDs in AI. And they are trying to grow. By the way, Japan is trying to grow. They are AI experts to 250,000 a year. So, guys, we need to start producing that kind of numbers too. But, you know, in the short term, what we can do is we can collaborate together. I'm sure, you know, we will put our thoughts together under the Malaysian Inc. concept. I think we will be able to harness the potential of the intelligence people that we have here in the country. So that's my take for it.
For me, it's very simple. If you ask me, I'm frustrated with the situation of the SME. But at the same time, I've got a lot of hope because that's the only asset that we have. I believe that Malaysia, we can still be the ASEAN, the tiger of the ASEAN tiger in robotics and artificial intelligence industry 4.0. I believe that. Yeah. Why? Why I believe that we can be the ASEAN tiger in robots AI? Because looking at the ASEAN, because you know, I used to interact a lot with Korea, Russia, and all these developed. Because our economy in ASEAN is still very new. People don't know yet where the wind is going to blow. In Malaysia, I believe we got a good talent pool. We've got SMEs, actually. Actually, SMEs, they are so frustrated. They want to learn about robots, iPhones, but they just don't know how, see? Like this type of forum. Why are they not here? Because these are all the CEOs of the captains and all that. Okay, so anyway, that aside, because I interact every day with SMEs, okay, I can feel their heartbeat. They want, it's not that, don't hammer them. They want, but just they do not know how. That's what I mentioned in my opening, is the awareness. We must create that, provide that awareness. And then you certify them, so that they know where they are, structured. Okay, and then support them with adoption. Okay. So if you ask me where are we, the SMEs and all that, I believe that If we assist them, it's all about risk management, believe me, because I've been involved in venture capital many years ago when I was young. It's all about managing risk. Okay, the SME must know they have the problem. The solutions provided, the millennial, the younger people, they want to contribute, but they don't have the experience of managing risk. The older people, yes, the bigger corporation, you know how to manage risk, but if the banks, the facilitators, everybody chips in and we try to mitigate this business risk or innovation risk or whatever supply chain risk, I think Malaysia, we can be the ASEAN tiger again in robotics and AI. I mean, that's my belief. I have to be optimistic in that.
Can I, just before the session is over, can I agree with the professor about something?
Okay.
This is just to kenalakan silaturahim semua. But what I wanted to say is this. So I don't necessarily, I think that we can be really good, if the term is tiger, I agree with you, Prof, not in robotics and AI and big data, but I think we can be really good at automating agriculture. And I think that what we're, and the issue that I see is that we work with different universities is they all have got their AI things going on. They all have got their own little robotics AI initiatives. It would be nice if we organize them such that we chose one or two institutions to focus on it so we don't necessarily stretch. We're already so low on intellectual capacity that we pull them together and say, listen, we'll pick this university and that university and you guys are going to be the center for AI for the country and get industry to go in. Because right now, you speak to everyone and then what they're doing is they're trash-talking everyone else's initiatives. So that doesn't help. Secondly, let's pick a specific industry. Let's not try and be everything to everyone, right? And so I'm just throwing agriculture because I think we have some natural strengths there, right? And if we focus on that, yes, we could become the tiger in ASEAN for agricultural robotics, automation, and artificial intelligence, right? That's I just want to agree with the professor on that, almost.
Okay. So we agree, we end on an almost agreement, which is not a bad thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you found that useful, the conversation useful. A couple of nuggets of information that you would probably take away is obviously, you know, we need to listen to our millennials more. We need to be a bit more open from a cultural perspective, from a business leader angle. And we need to come together, I guess, from a nation perspective to drive initiatives that really matters, down verticals that really matter to us, like agriculture, for example. And you know, we don't want to talk about oil and gas because that's a whole different can of worms that we don't want to open with electrification coming ahead. So what's left is can you please join me in thanking the panelists for this great session?
That was a recording from the Perdana Leadership Foundation's CEO Forum 2019 called Good for Business, AI, Robotics, and All Things Tech. Now, if you miss any part of this session, fret not, you can find the podcast for both part one that we aired last week and two of this panel discussion on the BFM website, bfm.my, and the BFM mobile app. Just look for the podcast parked under Resource Center. And before we go, a big shout out to the team at the Perdana Leadership Foundation for sharing this content with us and for having us at the CEO Forum this year. For more information on the foundation and their works, go visit their website, perdana.org.my. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.